listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Healton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, inviting you to join me each week on Saturday at 12 noon to our program, Raising the Standard. I will be raising the standard of biblical interpretation regarding Rosh Hashanah and the Messianic Kingdom to come with a Jewish Messianic perspective. Tune in and allow the Spirit of Prophecy to touch and change your life.
Antioch RV Rentals, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a Christian-owned and operated business that rents deluxe RVs for music events, weddings, racing events, and more. Antioch RV Rentals can deliver to your site, set up the RV, and train you on its operation, and take the setup down and away when your event is over. More information about Antioch RV Rentals is available at AntiochRVRentals.com, or Scott is available at 561-503-0811.
I hope this is not your disposition or your response when God calls you. I hope you don't say, "What do you want? I got people to see, places to go, things to do. Oh my goodness, it's God calling me again. God, come on." That's very irreverent and self-absorbed. You need to repent.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss how God shows His mercy on Israel by continuously calling them to repent and renew their relationship with Him. We're going to pick up with Pastor's discussion on Hosea chapter 11, verses 8 through 9. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, Drawn with a Compassionate and Caring Cord, Part 2.
Let me read the text again. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? And how shall I deliver thee, Israel? And how shall I make thee as Admah? And how shall I make them as the Boim? My heart is turned within me. Highlight that if you got your Bible. Turn within me, and my repentings are kindled together. And I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. Now, for note, Admah and Zeboim, those are ancient cities in the Old Testament that when God poured down his judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, those are also local cities connected to Sodom and Gomorrah that faced that judgment as well. So they were in the periphery of punishment, if you will. They received the boundaries, that is, they received some of the judgment. Those were cities that were near Sodom and Gomorrah and were destroyed. And for your reference, you can look at that in Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. I just didn't make that up. I got it at the Bible. Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. Anytime you see Ephraim in the Bible, again, Ephraim was the powerful picture of Israel, but one of the big and popular and most prosperous tribes of Israel is Ephraim. So we got Ephraim, people, Admah and Zeboim, cities where people were that were destroyed by Sodom and Gomorrah. Now here's what I want you to see, God's compassion and his goodness and his mercy working here. There are thick clouds of judgments on their way because of their disobedience. But as I said earlier, as a parent, God is not enjoying, nor is he enthusiastic about the pending punishment of his people. Sometimes people characterize God in a human light, and they say, God, just a big bully with a big stick, with a big club, just want to beat on me all the time. You see what's happening in my life, God? Nothing's good. You're always beating on me, God. Oh, God, won't you give me a break, God? Please, remove yourself from that mentality because your description of God has been defined by your experiences. Experiences would never define God accurately. Did you hear me? There's only one accurate description, one complete understanding of God. It's His Word. It's the Scriptures that define God accurately. And when I'm going through an experience, I trust the truth of the Scriptures, and He gives me some help called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have the Scriptures to help you process your trial, if you don't use the Scriptures and don't place yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then you will have a humanistic understanding of who God is. You'll bring a fleshly understanding, and you won't see God accurately. We're trying to see God accurately according to what the prophet is saying, speaking, God speaking through Hosea. He said, look, my heart is turned within me. And that word repenting is not connected nor associated like with God's sin. Because we know God can't sin. So in the language, in Hebrew, what that word repenting is, that word is comfort. That word is comfort. See, it takes on a different interpretation, does it not? When we see exactly what God's word is saying. He said, my heart is turned in me. Let's visit that for a second. Turned within me. That expression, that phrase is God is saying this, church. My heart is being overturned and overthrown. Overturned and overthrown. You see, I'm a righteous God. I'm a holy God. I got to address the sin, and I will address the sin. But while I'm processing this and while I'm implementing the judgment, my heart, church, is broken. My heart has been overturned. And my heart is overthrown. God, what overturns your heart? God, what is overthrowing your anger? It's called compassion. Said, my comfort is kindled, burning. I'm repent. The comfort I have, I'm kindled. Here's what happened. Our good and gracious God is saying this, church. My heart is overthrown because it's been conquered by compassion. You can give the Lord a hand with that. Not the pastor, but I hear you, sister. The Lord, because you know in your life, God has demonstrated compassion that you didn't deserve. I know I've been in that line many a day, and I'm the pastor. God, you're so good, I don't deserve that. Bernard, you know, I did that not because of you, but who I am. I did that because I love you. I set my love on you. I set my compassion on you. Because I know you've been beat down by the world. I know sometimes you make ignorant decisions. Anybody make any ignorant decisions in their life? But God will reach out and say, the same hand that's going to spank you is the same hand that's going to comfort you. I don't know about you, but I want God's hands on me all the time. All the time I want God's hands on me. How good and gracious God is saying, my heart is overthrown because it's been conquered by compassion. He says, I am the God of all comfort. I know what I'm doing. And my actions are carried out and directed because I'm in comfort. I am comforted by my actions towards you in your discomfort, God saying. What else, God? What are you saying in verse 9? I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I'm not going to destroy Ephraim. Then he says something very important. Highlight in verse 9. I am God and not man. If you didn't know it, maybe, again, because of your exposure and your experience and the bad education, you have somehow reduced God, modified God, changed God like He operates like a man. You know what happens when we bring God from his lofty level and we begin to characterize him, and we begin to implement him in our lives like we're talking to a man? We should never approach God like I'm talking to my neighbor. I should never approach God and treat God like I'm talking to a man. He's God. It demands an approach, reverence, and respect. But at the same time, you know his mercy is pure. You know his grace is good. You know you can trust, as you heard me say before, you can trust the CIA of God, his credibility and his intelligence. You can trust him and his ability to do things. I can trust God. God says, I want you, Cornerstone, to see my majestic mercy in verse 9. My majestic mercy is being manifested. I will not execute my fierceness or my anger, even though I have a right to do so. I will not do that. I will not destroy Ephraim. Everybody say forgiveness. God is not just the master. He's the one that has majestic monopoly on forgiveness. You need his forgiveness, church. We need his forgiveness every day. How many of you guys know that? But I'm going to take some steps and to present to you in a little bit right now, comparing that God's forgiveness is not like man's forgiveness. See, the emphasis in our text, God says, I'm not like man. Hey, I got long suffering. I have forgiveness. I have compassion. And usually when we see the forgiveness of God and the compassion of God and the mercy of God, it's a hard thing for us to process. It's hard for us to believe that God would give us this forgiveness and this mercy. It's hard for us because when we look at people and how they treat one another, how they forgive one another, unfortunately, that becomes the standard for forgiveness, man's kind of forgiveness versus God's forgiveness. Sometimes it's an unbelievable prospect to even entertain. God says, you guys need to know something. I told the prophet Isaiah the same thing. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. And as high as the heavens above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So don't you ever think that this is how you're supposed to forgive apart from me. God's forgiveness is extraordinary, immeasurable, and you have to have a supernatural influence to gather it all in. Because you can't understand it. God says, I'm not like man. The forgiveness we get, it comes from a different source. The forgiveness of God comes from a place of heaven, from the heart of God. The forgiveness of man comes from the heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. Which one do you want to sign up for? God has a holy heart. It's enormous. His forgiveness is enormous and transcending all the enormous transcending difference, the wide gap, wider than the Grand Canyon, wider than anything you can comprehend when it comes down to comparing God's forgiveness versus man's forgiveness. Let me talk about man's forgiveness for a little bit. See, when man, when it comes down to man, and let us underscore this in a way that we can all make the application personally. When I'm talking about man, it covers everybody, regardless of your gender, regardless of your people group you belong to, regardless of the relationship where you fall in terms of mom, dad, children. So when I say when man forgives, I'm talking about when a mom forgives and when a father forgives or when children forgives or co-workers forgive. I'm talking about man. Everybody with me? So no matter what you call the identity or the relationship is, I want to tell you that your forgiveness apart from the Spirit of God, your forgiveness apart from the influence of God is flawed. It's not fixed in truth. It is fixed in falsehood and conditions. How many times you had someone say to you, oh, ask you, forgive me for my offense, forgive me for my offense, and they keep doing it to you over and over and over again, and you always say, well, I forgive them, Pastor, but I ain't going to forget. Now, God is not asking you to hold fast to that. God's not asking you to acknowledge that that event, that transgression that took place in your history never existed. No, God is not saying that. I don't believe that's the heart of God. I believe what God wants us to do, that when someone offends us from past events, is to release for you and your relationship with God. In other words, those actions does not shape your decisions, present or future. Those actions does not shape who your God looks like. Again, let me look at man. Man, when it comes down to forgiveness, man will not resist his anger very long. He may have said, I forgive you, but he's still cooking on the inside. She's still cooking on the inside. And here's what happens. And I praise the Lord, we were just having a conversation about this in our men's Bible study the other day, that it only takes the right trigger. You've been telling everybody in church, I forgive that brother, I forgive that sister. We got a good relationship, then all of a sudden, kaboom! You unleash all that, I call it spiritual vomit. All that disgusting, dirty heart, all that comes out because you've been cooking for a while, and now all of a sudden, you're ready to pour out the wrath of God. I thought you said, you forgive them. Well, I'm moving in the judgment mode right now, Pastor. Man will not resist his anger very long. Everybody say mercy. Did you know that God gives you mercy every day? Do you know that God will hold his wrath and judgment that you're supposed to get on an everyday basis? Man will not resist his anger very long. Another thing about man. Man will not tolerate others when they are tired and tested and stressed out. Is that the truth? Your patience, what patience? You used to have a long rope, but now the rope of patience been consumed. And now it was a thick rope, now it's just a little string. Man, when it comes down to someone's offending them and hurting them, they're not going to tolerate others when they are tired. Now, let me qualify this for a second and add this little addendum. Just use some wisdom when you know somebody is tired and annoyed. Make sure you choose when to talk to them. It doesn't justify their behavior, but you got to use some wisdom sometime. Everybody know that? Brother say, yes, Lord. All right. Man will not tolerate when he's tired. He won't tolerate others when he's tired, tested, and stressed, and annoyed. Here's another thing. Man will not reconcile with a person who offended them if they think that person has a bad reputation. I'm not going to forgive them. Do you know what kind of person that is? Look in the mirror and ask yourself, does God know what kind of person you are? See, that's what I mean by real biblical forgiveness. Even though the person is not of good moral standing and the person does not enjoy integrity, God is still calling you to treat them like he would treat them. I'm not saying that you support, encourage, reinforce, and justify the transgression. God is looking at your attitude. Let me ask you a question. How many offenses has God forgiven you from? And did not Paul encourage us in Ephesians chapter 5? He said, be kind to one, Ephesians 4, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, and what? Forgiving one another. That's not the pastor saying that. That's the scriptures. That's what God is saying. So when you're not in forgiveness mode, and you're not willing to extend forgiveness like God has called you, and some of you guys been carrying that bitterness and carrying that unforgiveness for how many years? You know, if God was heightening our supernatural ears and we could see some things, you would see all the fetters and chains and ball that you're struggling and carrying with all your life. And I can see it on your body. I can see it on your countenance. I can see it in your actions. And you saying, God, don't answer my prayers. Hello? God seems so far away from me. I even read the Bible. I even pray. Did you deal with your heart? Did you deal with that unforgiveness? I can't use you if you don't forgive, God would say to us. So man is not willing to offer reconciliation. And here's another thing. Man is only often, he's conditional, he'll offer forgiveness on a condition that the party promises not to do it again. You must not be married. Do you think only married people offend each other and make promises? I'm sorry, baby, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry, honey, I won't do that again. And all of a sudden, it happens again. What do? Run to the first justice of peace you can find, or not justice of peace, you're looking for the Department of Defense right now. So you run and go to get a judge so he can rescind your marriage? Or do you act like Jesus? And here's a newsflash, men. Guess who represents Jesus in the marital relationship? The man. And let me ask you something, men in the room. You that are married and men that are soon to be married. Now, please take this, women, with wisdom, what I'm getting ready to share, because it does not encourage you to disrespect, dishonor, and attack your husband and use this as leverage. No, I'm speaking to the men because they are the spiritual leaders. Men, you represent Jesus. When the last time you said, "Forgive her, Lord, for she know not what she's doing"? When the last time you manifested Jesus in that relationship? Because here's what I know, personally, and I know it's true, that if a man can purpose, he's not going to be perfect, but if he purpose and ask God to grant him the grace to be consistent in representing Jesus, his wife will come around. If she loves God, if she fears God, she's going to be impressed with Jesus in you and not the man. No doubt that will happen. But the issue is that, again, she must be willing to submit to God as well. But men, we are called to be like Jesus when our wives do what we want them to do, or we called to be like Jesus all the time. Can I hear you, church? Wives, pray for our husbands so they can be consistent with that. Again, we don't forgive because they got to, you know, again, make the first move, or, you know, they have to get to a place where they promise not to hurt us anymore. That's man's forgiveness. Now, real quickly, let's wrap up our lesson, verses 10 through 12. And if you take a note, verses 10 through 12, we see, like a lion that roars, God calls Israel back. Verses 10 through 12, let me read. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints. I'm going to take time to ask a question now. Are you guys familiar with the movie the Chronicles of Narnia series? That was a powerful and majestic lion that represents the lion of the tribe of Judah, if you know the story in the series. His name was Aslan. And when Aslan showed up, he didn't purr like a kitten. When Aslan roared, everybody trembled, did they not? I love how that gives us a picture of our God, that he roars because a lion gets the respect. The lion roars Sometimes he roars in battle. Sometimes he roars to let you know, I'm a big bad man, I'm coming, so you better get out of my way. But oftentimes he roars because he knows he can do it. And God roars for Israel to call us back. And we should, when God is calling you, I hope this is not your disposition or your response. When God calls you, I hope you don't say, what do you want? I got people to see, places to go, things to do. Oh my goodness, it's God calling me again. God, come on. That's very irreverent and self-absorbed. You need to repent. You've lost your fear of God. I called you men to be something in the home, or be a priest in your home, and you're not doing it. I call you wives to support your husbands and come alongside with them and co-labor. I called you young person. I called you to a life of purity. I'm roaring today. Are you listening? God says, verse 11, they're going to tremble. I love the picture of the bird and the dove, because what we see in the text is a bird or dove that's been flying out of the way, and it's lost its way. It's lost, and it's flying and going down a journey and flying down a path where they flew away from God, and God's going to roar and call them back. When he starts to roar, the sons of God, the people of God, are come back trembling from the west. God speaks to, catch this, God speaks to the ultimate restoration of Israel. God's going to roar one day, and the whole nation of Israel will be exactly where they're supposed to be with God. And they would embrace and tremble and know that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that sits on the throne, is their God that the prophets prophesied about. They will roar and come back. God will restore Israel. And you see his mercy expressed again to Ephraim. Even though they surround God with all their lies, God says, my mercy, I'm still calling back. I made a promise to Israel. I make a promise to my people. I'm calling them back. Even in their present state of disconnection and rebellion and hypocrisy, I will still call them back. Because when they hear the lion roar, they will tremble. Judah's in a much better place at this season, he says. But God still makes a promise that he will reconcile Judah, reconcile the 10 tribes, reconcile the nation as we see it. We make a current application today, presently. God is going to roar and Israel will come back. I'm grateful that when God roars, I listen. How about you? We need to make sure that we do that we turn back to God when he calls us.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Drawn with a Compassionate and Caring Cord, Part 2. In today's program, Pastor discussed the importance of returning to the Lord when he calls us. What about you? Have you drifted away from him? If so, he's calling you to return to him. He is calling you to repent so that you can enjoy a right relationship with him. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. In our next program, we'll be breaking from the Hosea series to enjoy a seasonal series that focuses on preparing our hearts for the Christmas season. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.